సెకండ్ వర్స్ ఇస్ అట్ ది ఫస్ట్ ఆర్డర్ నంజు.
Yes,
second is at the post order. I did the post order for second also. I didn't do?
Yeah, I mean, you said it, but it was quite fast.
Aham, aham, te, savijnan, idam jnanam, savijnanam, aseshataha vakshyami. Aham, te, ఇదం జ్ఞానం సవిజ్ఞానం అశేషతః వక్ష్యామి. ఫస్ట్ సెంటెన్స్ యత్ జ్ఞాత్వా ఇహ జ్ఞాత్ భూయః జ్ఞాతవ్యం అన్యత్ న అవశిష్యతే. యత్ జ్ఞాత్వా ఇహ భూయః జ్ఞాతవ్యం అన్యత్ న అవశిష్యతే. ఓం మనుష్యాణాం సహస్రేషు కశ్చిద్యతతి సిద్ధయే యతతామపి సిద్ధానాం కశ్చిన్ మాం వేతి తత్వతః. సో మనుష్యాణాం సహస్రేషు కశ్చిత్ సిద్ధయే యతతి. యతతాం సిద్ధానాం, యతతాం అపి సిద్ధానాం కశ్చిత్ మాం తత్వతః వేతి. Very rarely people make efforts to know Bhagavan. And even if they make efforts, of all those people who make efforts, very rarely people understand Bhagavan. It means not that all the people make efforts to know Bhagavan. Not all the people who make effort understand also Bhagavan. Why people do not make efforts to know Bhagavan? See, you will make efforts to attain anything, to accomplish anything, only if you know the value. Why people make all possible efforts to make money? Because they know the value of money. Money is a buying power. Everybody, we don't need to go and tell everybody, please work very hard, earn money. Do we need to go and tell them? No. People make all possible efforts to earn money because they know the value of money. Money is a buying power. Similarly here, people, all the people are not inclined for knowing the truth, because they do not know the value of knowledge. They do not know the value of knowledge because they do not have purushartha nischayaha. They have not analyzed their ends, their goals. They are not very clear and definite about what this life is ultimately, human life is lived for. And it is not something we can go and impose on other person also. It has to be natural. See, what am I ultimately searching for? What am I really seeking? That must be very clear. That is why even when the purusharthas are analyzed, the word moksha, the word moksha itself means freedom. It means the freedom is said to be the ultimate goal of a human being. And what is that the human being seeking? He is seeking the freedom from what? Definitely freedom is always sought from something undesirable. You will never like freedom from something desirable, enjoyable. You always want freedom from something undesirable, unwanted. And what is unwanted? What is undesirable? Definitely sorrow, unhappiness. Therefore, freedom is sought from the undesirable, unwanted sorrow, unhappiness. Therefore, what is actually sought after is happiness. And even if we say, oh, people need to pursue artha, which is artha purushartha, which is also a human goal, human end. Artha, that whatever you pursue, in order to have the infrastructure you need to live this life is artha. And because in having infrastructure you need to live this life, you feel secure. So what we pursue for security is artha. And then in pursuing artha, the effort is involved, hard work is involved, actions are involved. And there again difficulties are there. Obstacles will be there, and there again the mental, physical tiredness is there, fatigueness is there, mental frustrations will be there. Therefore, you need some change from the monotonous routine of day life. So, do whatever you do for a change from the routine life becomes a pursuit of pleasure. So, it can be listening to music or watching dance program or going out for a picnic or a holiday. It's all pleasures. So even Shastra very clearly talks about threefold pleasures: sensory pleasures, intellectual pleasures, aesthetic pleasures. And even the pursuit of pleasures also, any pursuit of any pleasure also, is only temporary, time-bound. It's also part of his human end, but still. So artha and kama, artha kama, artha kamaha. These are the ends pursued. For what? For living this life. So which are the ends to be pursued for what must be very clear. Not that Shastram never says don't pursue artha, don't earn money, don't touch rupees, don't touch money, don't touch wealth. No. Shastram emphasizes you should make money, you should earn your money. Artha you need, kama you need for living this life. This life has to be lived. But how you should live artha, how you should pursue artha and kama? Artha and kama must be pursued in conformity with dharma. That is when this life itself will serve a purpose. Only when you live a life of dharma, you will become intellectually sharp. Living a life of dharma implies living your life consciously with sensitivity. So that you become sharp. Because you living a dharma implies living your life with all alertness. So when you live your life with all alertness and consciously, definitely, you can see how in due course of time it contributes for intellectual sharpness. Not emotional stability. Therefore, artha and kama is pursued for living this life. But when the artha and kama are pursued for in conformity with dharma, it also contributes for mental, emotional maturity, emotional stability, intellectual sharpness. But ultimately for what? Through the pursuit of artha, kama, dharma, even by living a life of dharma, what you are searching for is actually happiness only. You want to be secure for happiness. You pursue artha for security, ultimately for happiness. You pursue kama, you enjoy pleasures, ultimately for happiness. You live a life of dharma, ultimately for happiness only. So what is ultimately sought out through all the pursuits is happiness. That is why we say moksha is the paramaha purushartha, the exalted of all the human ends. All the four is purusha, paramaha purushartha moksha. And this must become 100% clear. Definitely, this human body one day is going to fall apart. It has a beginning, date of birth. it has a date of death also, is going to definitely fall apart. It's not going to be there forever. And then, before leaving this physical body, what is the best thing you can do? What you are desperately doing the whole life, you are actually searching unknowingly, you don't even know what you are searching for. Not knowing what you are searching for, really you are searching for happiness. This is a sad thing. What Shastram tells you is, you are searching for, you don't even know that you are searching for something. There is always a search. When you are searching for something, not knowing what you are searching for, the search will be endless, never come to an end. The search will come to an end only when you know what you are searching for and you search for it. That is what is made very clear, the analysis of Purusharthas makes it very clear. Definitely you need to pursue artha for living this life. You need to have pleasures also in life. You don't need to deprive yourself of the enjoyment of any pleasures. The world, the whole world is in front of you for you to enjoy. No problem, but understand the limitations of everything. But the artha and kama must be pursued in conformity with dharma to prepare your mind for something absolute, for knowledge. So the life itself is not lived for simply earning and enjoying. Life itself is not lived for pursuit of artha kamas. Artha kamas are pursued for living this life. But when you pursue artha kama in conformity with dharma, you prepare your mind also. The emotional maturity is also. Otherwise, physically you will be 70 and mentally you will be 15. So, along with the physical growth, emotional maturity also has to be taken care of. You have to make initiative. That's where you have to. That's why prayatna, effort. Effort must be on your part for emotional maturity. For physical growth, you don't need to work very hard. 3 times or 5 times or 10 times, as many times as possible, you can eat. Keep on eating. Nature takes you food to put into this opening here, and the nature takes care of the growth. Horizontally and vertically, isn't it? We don't need to do any work hard. Don't need no initiatives in required. But for emotional maturity, not for physical growth, you have to make an initiative, isn't it? Which means you have to live your life consciously in conformity with dharma. That is how in due course of time your mind also grows along with the body. That's why all the religious practices, in fact in our culture, we have 41 samskaras. 41 samskaras. Samskaraha, the very word samskaraha, samskaroti iti samskaraha. Karoti means does. Samskaroti means refines. And samskaraha means refinement. Samskaranam, samskritihi, samskaraha. All the three words mean the same. Samskaranam, samskritihi, samskaraha. All the three words mean the same. Refinement. So to mean culture, we use the term samskritihi. Samskaranam, gerund, refining. Samskaraha, refinement. So, that's why the rituals performed, the prayers performed for the mental refinement of the individual, they are called samskaraha. Before even you are born, we have samskaraha, prenatal samskaras. Garbhadanam, pumsavanam, simantonayanam, so many. Then after birth, isn't it? Jata karma, namakaranam, aksharabhyasaha, annaprashanam, upanayanam, so many. So before your birth, the rituals are performed by others because you are not even born. After death, Antyeshti, 41st, you are not here, around. Others will do for your mental refinement. So, even after death also, others worry. Others work for the mental refinement of the individual. And before birth also, and during your life, within the body also, samskaras, whole life you have samskaras. Why? In our culture, physical growth is very natural. You eat as much as possible. Physically you grow, but mental maturity, emotional maturity is now, we need prayers, we need worship, we need to live a dharma. That is why there must be constant, continuous effort on one's part for one's emotional maturity. This is called prayatna, really speaking. To achieve anything, there must be effort. And the effort, not simply doing the karma alone, how I do the action, how I perform my action, how I perform my duties. Do I do everything in conformity with dharma? Dharma is also emphasized. Isn't it? That's why artha and kama are definitely the ends we need to pursue for living this life. But they must be pursued in conformity with dharma for mental refinement. So that you will be qualified for jnanam. Ultimately, for what? Jnanam, which is moksha. So the whole life is lived not for arthakama pursuits, but life is lived for the attainment of knowledge, which is moksha. So which is the purusharta? Which is the role? That's why arthakama dharmas are relative ends. Moksha is the absolute end. Moksha parama purushartha. This must be clear. And for this moksha, in moksha is a choiceless end, is very clear. And that moksha is not the only buying power for moksha is jnanam. Because whole bondage is because of ajnanam, as they explained to you. Briefly, isn't it? How ignorance is the root cause of bondage, root cause of problems, root cause of samsara, root cause of the unhappiness, the problems and misery. Therefore, the only means is jnanam. It must become very clear. And when you know the value of the knowledge, because I know the value of moksha, I understand the connection between jnanam and moksha as a sadhana, sadhya, sambandha. Jnanam and moksha, the means, end, sambandha, I understand. That is when a person can become committed to the pursuit of knowledge. Then nobody will stop him. Nobody can stop a person being committed to the pursuit of knowledge. Isn't it? Then that is why how many people are exposed? How many people know this? Otherwise, artha kamas will become the ends. And the world will be looked upon as a source of security and happiness. And will completely be given to the enjoyment of pleasures and objects. Artha kamas will become the ends means we endlessly will be searching for. Many people do not make efforts. That is why manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid siddhaye yatati. Only one person, one in thousands, really make efforts to know the truth, knowing the value of knowledge of the truth. And of all those who make efforts also, one in thousands, many really understands the truth. Itatamapi siddhanam kaschin mam veti tattvataha. Correctly understands.
Bhumirapo nalo vayuhu.
Bhumirapo nalo vayuhu.
Khammano buddhirevacha.
Khammano buddhirevacha.
Ahankarayiti yamme.
Ahankarayiti yamme.
Bhinna prakruti rashtadha.
Bhinna prakruti rashtadha.
Bhumirapo nalo vayuhu.
Bhumirapo nalo vayuhu.
Kham
तम्मनोबुद्धिरेवच
अहंकार इति यम्मे
भिन्ना प्रकृतिरष्टध
सो हियर मे प्रकृति अष्टधा भिन्ना मे प्रकृति अष्टधा भिन्ना मीन्स इयम् मे प्रकृति इयम् मे प्रकृति अष्टधा भिन्ना सो इयम् मीन्स दिस प्रकृति दिस नेचर ओ मे प्रकृति दिस मई नेचर दिस मई प्रकृति नेचर हियर दिस इज अपरा प्रकृति दिस इन्फीरियर मई नेचर मई इन्फीरियर नेचर मई अपरा प्रकृति अष्टधा भिन्ना is different and it is an eightfold this my apara prakriti is divided into eightfold factors so the eight actual number to mean the whole the entire objective universe gross and subtle okay the perceptible and the imperceptible the entire objective universe is here what divided into eightfold factors to make it short bhumihi earth apaha waters sanskritam is a plural word analaha fire vayuhu air kham means space so five elements have come bhumihi apaha analaha vayuhu kham you are so used to listen to other words आकाशः वायुः अग्निः जलं पृथ्वी दिस् यु नो अमेरिका बट् हियर् द वर्ड्स् आर् डिफरेण्ट् दर् सेल्फ् सो खम् आल्सो स्पेस् खम् मीन् स्पेस् दट् इस् वै बर्ड् इस् काल्ड् ख गः खे गच्छति इति खगः बर्ड् विच् Khe gacchati iti khagaha. Bird is called khagaha. Because we are all what? We are khagaha. Okay? We are all? Prithvi gaha. Bhogaha. Isn't it? Bhoma gacchati. Not Hindi book, okay? Book, book. Book laga, nahi. Not that book. Okay. So, yam... Kham in space. So five elements got. Bhumihi, apaha, analaha, vayuhu, kham. So here, earth, water, fire, air and space, five elements. Then manaha. Mano, manaha. Manaha, actually we are seeing the whole antakkanam, divided into as two aspects of antakkanam. Intellectual aspect of antakkanam, emotional aspect of antakkanam. We are dividing them into two as manaha and buddhi. If you want, you can say the entirely antakkana mind as such. Where we are seeing intellect and buddhi, manaha. So manaha, intellect, mind, buddhi, intellect, seven. Then ahankaraha. You know why this manaha and buddhi cannot be there if there is no ahankara. Ahankaraha is specially what actually the knowledge I am. Just the knowledge of existence of one's own self in terms of I am. I add am. I am is what? Knowledge of existence of one's own self. Isn't it? So I itself is what? I without am. I itself is expression of manifestation of knowledge obtained from a thought, which is an expression used to mean one's own self. And you add am, it becomes knowledge of existence of one's own self. I am. And that is, knowledge is fine. But without this knowledge, identity is not possible, isn't it? If this knowledge also is not there, what happens? There is no knowledge of existence of one's own self in terms of I am. What is there? Ignorance. If that knowledge is not there, there cannot be knowledge of the existence of the world, isn't it? See, if for a person to have the knowledge of the existence of the world in terms of the world is, there must be the knowledge of existence of one's own self in terms of I am. Isn't it? Therefore, any knowledge presupposes the knowledge of existence of one's own self. Even other emotions, desire, anger, anything to be there, there must be knowledge of existence of one's own self. I am. If this knowledge is not there, no identity is possible. It's all very important. But this knowledge is what? The I am is there, but what I am is not there. Then half knowledge. In total ignorance, you can't have any identity. In total ignorance, there is non-identity. In total knowledge, there will be right identity. In half knowledge, wrong identity. Isn't it? In total knowledge, right identity. I knower, am the consciousness, the Atma, it's a right identity. Wave is, water is right identity, isn't it? Like that, I am Atma, right identity. In total ignorance, no identity. What identity do you have in sleep, deep sleep state? Do you know you are man or woman? Do you know you are living in England or India? Do you know anything? In total ignorance, non-identity. In total knowledge, right identity. In half knowledge, half ignorance, wrong identity. Isn't it? Now, this is why you say what now? Wrong identity is there. It's called, then you have a wrong notion about yourself. In wrong identity, you have a wrong notion about yourself, which is called ahankara. Then what is the thing? I am the doer. I am is beautiful knowledge. You say, I am the doer is what? Wrong notion. Isn't it? It is called ahankara. I am the enjoyer. Then any notion, anything you add to I am, not knowing what I am, is what? Ahankara. Therefore, ahankaraha is the notion that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, is what? Ahankara. And that notion also obtains in what form? In the form of thought. Isn't it? It is there. You can't see it through physical eyes, but it is there. Therefore, manaha, buddhihi, ahankaraha. Without ahankara, there can't be manaha or buddhihi. Isn't it? Therefore, manaha, ahankaraha, buddhihi, three and fivefold elements. The five elements stand for all the elementals also. You can reduce everything into what? Five. And we call it perceptible world. And even the imperceptible, what now? Manaha, buddhihi, ahankaraha. All the eight. The eight stand for apara prakritihi. So this is inferior nature, means what? Apara prakritihi means this the whole jagat. Why it's apara? Because it has no independent existence of its own. Therefore, it is mithya. And it is not there permanently. It becomes manifest, the world becomes manifest, again the world becomes unmanifest. Constantly, continuously, the world does not exist. Exist means what? It becomes manifest. When it is manifest, it enjoys the status of being existent. It becomes unmanifest, it continues to exist, but it loses the status of being existent. There is a time this objective universe, which is divided into eightfold factors, loses its status of being existent. There is a time this universe enjoys the status of being existent. When it loses the status of being existent, it is as good as non-existent. It enjoys the status of being existent, it is there. This is the nature of the... Therefore it is, there is no independent existence at all. Where does it become unmanifest? Where does it become manifest? Which means for this universe to become manifest and unmanifest, it always needs another support. Isn't it? Therefore it has no independent existence. Therefore it is mithya. You say it is also what? Inferior order of the reality. We say, iyam apara prakritihi. Iyam me prakritihi. Ashtadha bhinna iyam me prakritihi eightfold.
Apareyamitastvanyam. Apareyamitastvanyam prakritim viddhi me param, prakritim viddhi me param, jiva bhuta mahabaho, jiva bhuta mahabaho, yayedam dharyate jagat, yayedam dharyate jagat. Apareyamitastvanyam, apareyamitastvanyam, prakritim viddhi me param, prakritim viddhi me param, jiva bhuta mahabaho, jiva bhuta mahabaho, yayedam dharyate jagat, yayedam dharyate jagat.
Okay. He says, okay, in this eightfold factors which form the apara prakritihi of Bhagavan, the word prakritihi is a feminine gender word. That is why iyam prakritihi. Iyam me prakritihi ashtadha bhinna. This prakriti of mine is called apara prakritihi, mithya, up in eightfold forms, in terms of elements, manaha, ahankara, buddhihi, etc. This is apara. But what is that para prakritihi? Bhagavan says in the next verse,
apareyamitastvanyam,
apareyamitastvanyam,
prakritim viddhi me param,
prakritim viddhi me param.
Apara iyam. See, first word, na? Apareyam, aparaiyam, means this prakriti of mine, which is said to be of eightfold factors, stated in the previous verse, is apara prakritihi. Okay, the word apara prakritihi means what? What has been said in the previous verse? Aparaiyam, full stop. Aparaiyam means this prakritihi, which is said to be of eightfold factors, which has been enumerated in the previous verse, is apara, means inferior prakriti, inferior order. Itaha tu anyam prakritim viddhi me param. Itaha, apart from this, other than this, or different from this. Itaha means from this. Itaha literally means from here also. Itaha means from this. Apart from this apara prakritihi, itaha anyam param prakritim vidhi. There is also another para prakritihi, aparam, you know, itaha anyam param prakritim vidhi. May anyam param prakritim vidhi. Hey Arjuna, may you understand there is an other para prakritihi which is different from this, distinct from this apara prakritihi. There is another para prakritihi, my absolute nature, my higher nature, is which is distinct from this apara prakritihi, is inferior nature is there. May you understand that. Itaha anyam param me prakritim vidhi. May you understand that higher nature also. And what is that higher nature? That higher nature, now I can tell you. What is para prakritihi? The reality, the absolute reality, the abstract, subtlest reality obtaining in the form of pure knowledge, pure consciousness, implied by the term Atma or Brahma, is what? Para prakritihi. The pure consciousness, when we add adjective pure, what does it mean? That does not mean there is impure consciousness. Whenever we use the expression pure consciousness, pure knowledge, pure awareness, the adjective pure is added to distinguish the truth from the form. If we say there is a ocean, means what is ocean? Ocean is water obtaining in a given form. Water with the form is ocean, isn't it? We say pure water, what does it mean? Water without the ocean form. We say wave means water with the form. Pure water means water without the form, wave. So pure means without form. Okay, that's all. So here, para prakritihi means the absolute reality, the ultimate truth, in what form the reality you know now. No, this our other prakriyas, when we understand, we arrive at the reality as our own swarupam. We arrive at it, you can never arrive at the reality as anything other than the truth of the knower. When you search for the knower is consciousness, when you say, and the knower is the reality, and the knowing is the nature. Therefore, reality, which is of the nature of knowing, is pure knowledge, or consciousness, isn't it? The consciousness implied by the term Atma or Brahma is the para prakritihi. And it is this consciousness, we understand, this consciousness, see, one and only consciousness, only truth, before the manifestation, is implied by the term Brahma. The same reality, after manifestation, is known by the term Ishvara and Jiva. The same consciousness, look at consciousness as the truth of the entire objective universe. Title is given is what? Ishvara. Ishwaraha is a qualification, title attributed to the reality from the standpoint of the universe. And the same reality, the consciousness, is associated with an individual body, mind, sense complex, give its the name Jiva. So Jiva is also qualification. Ishwaraha is also qualification. Two different qualifications attributed to the one and the only secondless reality from the standpoint of the forms it is associated with. But who is Jiva? Atma, the consciousness. Who is Ishvara? The consciousness. Okay, what is consciousness? The reality. Implied by the terms Atma or Brahma. Therefore, Jiva Atma, Parama Atma are what? Jivaha and Paramaha are the qualifications attributed to the one and the only Atma. You can drop the Jivaha, drop the adjectives Paramaha. What is this only Atma? Atma alone is given two different titles. As Jiva Atma and Parama Atma are Ishwaraha and Jivaha. There is no Ishwaraha other than the truth, the consciousness. There is no Jivaha or Paramaha or Ishwaraha other than the truth. Essentially, the Ishwara is also consciousness, Jiva is also consciousness. Therefore, it is this reality, absolute reality, the abstract truth, which is of the nature of consciousness, or which itself is consciousness, associated with, identified with the body, mind, sense complex, individual human form, if we say what? Jivaha. Therefore he says here, what is Bhagavan's para prakriti? This para prakriti is Atma Brahman, the reality implied with the term Atma or Brahman, which is consciousness, and which alone is up there as the knower Jiva, Jiva Bhutam. And it is by this consciousness, the reality, Idam Jagat Dharyate. This entire objective universe, Idam Jagat, the word Jagat means universe. The objective universe is implied by the word Jagat, isn't it? Why? Because universe becomes manifest, again becomes unmanifest. Becomes manifest, again becomes unmanifest. That is why it's called Jagat. Jayate comes, gachati goes. Jayate comes, gachati goes. Therefore it's called Jagat. So Jayate gachati iti Jagat. And this objective, that's why Bhagavan uses the term Jagat here. It comes and goes. If you fall asleep, where is the Jagat? Not there. If you wake up, again Jagat comes. Even when you fall asleep, Jagat doesn't appear for you, isn't it? Comes and goes. Becomes manifest, becomes unmanifest. Therefore, it is called a Jagat. That which comes and goes is Jagat. And that Jagat universe is indicated by the one pronoun, Idam. If you use the one pronoun, third person singular pronoun, Idam, one word indicates the entire objective universe, the known world. Apart from the known, what is there? The knower. So, Idam is equal to the known, I, the knower. Aham, Idam. This division is, I am, this is. I am the knower, this universe is the known. There's nothing. You can reduce the whole into two as knower and the known. And the whole known is apara prakritihi. The knower Atma is para prakritihi. And therefore, who is this knower? The knower enjoys the status of being the Jiva. Is it? Because the knower I is identified with the body, mind, sense complex, associated with the given form, enjoys the status of being the Jiva. There's no Jiva other than Atma, the consciousness. Isn't it? for jivabhutam, jivabhuta prakritihi, para prakritihi is actually the reality. The only truth, the only reality implied by the term Atma or Brahman, associated with obtaining as the knower, enjoying the status of being the knower, no? Is there as a jiva, is the para prakritihi, and it is by that para prakritihi this entire universe is sustained. The entire universe is sustained by that reality. What sustains the entire ocean? It is the water. Where does the ocean exist? The water, isn't it? Just as water sustains the ocean. Here, the entire universe is sustained by that para prakritihi reality. Therefore, yaya jiva bhutam yaya idam jagat dharyate. It is this Atma sustains the Anatma prapanchaha. Para prakritihi sustains the apara prakritihi. Ashtada bhinna, eightfold, the entire objective universe which is of eightfold forms is apara prakritihi sustained by the para prakritihi Atma, the consciousness. So here also we are understanding what is the fact understood here. This jivaha, obtaining as the knower I, enjoying the body mind sense complex, isn't it? Is actually essentially Atma, the conscious reality, the consciousness implied by the term Atma. The Ishwaraha also the same consciousness associated with the entire objective universe. Enjoys the status of being the Ishwaraha. So Jivaha and Ishwaraha are two different titles attributed to the one and the only reality Atma or Brahma. And here, therefore, what is Paraprakriti, what is Aparaprakriti? Objective universe Anatma Prapanchaha is Apara, the knower consciousness is Para. And both are what? Ishwara. Two aspects of Ishvara. And the two aspects together form Ishvara. And are they two? No. Essentially one. Isn't it? Essentially one. Why do we say apara prakriti is not second? It doesn't have independent existence. One is mithya, one is satyam, two order the only reality. Therefore, the both the aspects together form, constitute the Lord Ishvara. Is it clear? I'll stop here so that we can wait for the lunch.
Apareyamitastvanyam prakritim viddhi me param, prakritim viddhi me param, jiva bhuta mahabaho,
jiva bhuta mahabaho,
yayedam dharyate jagat,
yayedam dharyate jagat.
See, after 4 and 5, you have to understand this difference. See, iyam me prakritihi bhumihi apaha analaha vayuhu kham manaha buddhihi ahankaraha iti ashtadha binna. Iyam prakritihi apara. This is iyam prakritihi apara, full stop. Itaha, from other than this apara prakritihi, itaha, other than this apara prakritihi, anyam me param prakritim viddhi, jiva bhutam param prakritim viddhi, he mahabaho, itaha anyam பராம் இத்தக அன்யாம் மே பராம் பிரகிருத்திம் ஜீவபூதாம் பராம் பிரகிருத்திம் வித்தி. வி அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட் அன் அதர் நேச்சர் ஆஃப் மைண்ட், ஹையர் நேச்சர் ஆஃப் மைண்ட், விச் இஸ் டிஸ்டிங்க்ட் டிஃபரண்ட் ஃப்ரம் திஸ் அபரா பிரகிருதி, விச் அலோன் இஸ் தேர் அஸ் த நோவர் ஜீவா, த நோவர் இண்டிவிஜுவல் அப்டெயின் இன் எவ்ரி இண்டிவிஜுவல் பீங், and by which alone, by which a para prakriti alone, idam jagat dharyate, he mahabaho, mighty am Arjuna, this entire universe is sustained by that para prakriti of mine. Therefore here another secret is revealed. What is that? Jivaha is also is Ishvara. Jiva is none other than Ishvara. Para prakriti is the reality, the pure consciousness, which alone is there as the knower Jiva. The Jiva, the knower, is consciousness Atma, which is Ishvara's para prakriti. Therefore Ishvara and Jiva are essentially one. Okay, Jiva is Ishvara, Jagat also is Ishvara. What is Jagat then? Jagat also is Ishvara. Why? Because Jagat does not have independent existence. Jagat is the known, the knower is Ishvara. And Jagat has no independent existence. Therefore, Jagat is also is Ishvara. Jagat is manifestation of Ishvara. Appearance of Bhagavan. Okay, understood? Para prakriti and apara prakriti. Let us read the verse.
அபரேயமிதஸ்த்வன்யாம்
ப்ரக்ருதிம் வித்தி மே பராம் ஜீவபூதா மஹாபாஹோ யயேதம் தார்யதே ஜகத் So yaya prakritya, by which higher nature of mind, idam jagat dharyate, this entire universe is sustained by which nature? That is my higher nature, which alone is in the name of Jiva, the knower. Knower, and that knower is another than Atma, the consciousness. Therefore, that is my higher nature. May you understand that, which is distinct from this apara prakriti. Itaha anyam me param jivabhutam prakritim viddhi yaya idam jagat dharyate. And Krishna, Bhagavan is going to say, in this verse you understood how Jiva and Ishvara are essentially one. We are going to understand now how Jagat also is Ishvara. Only then you can arrive at the non-duality of Bhagavan. All that is there is only Bhagavan, only truth. You have to understand that. That you are going to see in the following verses. We will see after our bhojanam. Okay. Om
Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. ஹரி ஓம் தத்சத் ஸ்ரீ குருப்யோ நமஹ.
हरिः ओम्।